Family for that. I don't know that I've ever heard that hymn done more beautifully. That actually is one of my very favorite Christmas songs. Growing up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, we listened to the radio a lot. WCCO was similar to what WIBC is here. WCCO was the good neighbor to the Northwest, and they had every Christmas a series of programs, but one of them was the College of St. Olaf Choir, and they always sang that song, and I remember as a kid hearing that over and over again. And then for some reason, I don't know, when I moved south for a period of time, I guess they don't sing that down south. And so when I came back and got reacquainted with that song, such a blessing. I enjoyed that. I hope you enjoy the music of the holiday season. Now, do not put your hymn book away, because you're going to help me preach the message tonight in song. So keep your hymn book right handy. And take your Bible, turn to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. I'll read several verses, but there is just a small passage that tells us what Christmas is all about. I love Christmas time. I love the decorations. I love the lights. I love the excitement. I enjoy all of the thrill, especially for children, what they get to see and the thrill and the joy of all of these things. I love the traditions of Christmas, one of which is my family often on Christmas Day eats at a Chinese restaurant. We did that today. We were out on the south side and ate. They're the only thing open, folks, on Christmas. And it's not that the Chinese don't like Christmas, but they're going to capitalize on it. That's why they're going to trounce us if we're not careful economically. But we do that sometimes. I love the traditions of Christmas, the food of Christmas, everything about it I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy. But we always want to come back to this, the meaning and the main thing. And I'm not against all of the fun things that we do. I'm for all of those things and the happiness and joy that that brings. But then I was coming back, never forgetting what it is really all about. It is about Christ. John's Gospel, chapter 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You will remember that one of the names for Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. And so when it says that the Word was with God, and then in verse number 1 affirms that the Word was God, it speaks clearly of His deity. He who was born in Bethlehem's manger was no mere man, but was God in the flesh. The same, verse 2, was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. In other words, Jesus is the creative mediator in creation. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That is always the case about light and darkness. As the world and the culture in which we are living sinks deeper into darkness, where things that years ago would never have been considered acceptable now are embraced in our culture. As our culture becomes more aberrant away from the message of the Word of God and embracing that darkness, the light of a church and the light of a Christian will be more important than ever. And that light will shine more brightly because the darkness is more intense. And this church, as we continue to preach God's Word, will shine as a beacon in a very dark place. But every individual in this room shines that same way. We shine the light of Christ into the darkness of our culture, into the darkness of the places where we have business and where we work, into the darkness of the hearts of men that desperately need the Savior. We shine that light of Christ. Verse number 6, the Bible says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness. This, of course, speaking of John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now notice that, speaking of Jesus. He was in the world. The world was made by him. Does everyone see his deity there? He is God. Jesus Christ is God. The Jesus of the New Testament is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Look again, every eye, on verse number 11. This encapsulates the entire Christmas story. In fact, it reaches beyond the manger all the way to the cross. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. May I break it down for you a moment? What is the meaning of Christmas? Look at the first word of verse number 11. He. Of whom are we speaking when we say he? Jesus, of course, is the one of whom we speak. He came unto his own received him not. He is the Word who is God in John chapter 1 and verse number 1. He is the true light in the passage that we just read. He. Take your Bible quickly and turn with me to 1 Timothy. Just want you to see something. What I think to be one of the most critical verses in the entire Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Who is this He, this God, this one who became flesh? Who is Jesus? Paul clarifies, if there were to be any doubt at all, who Jesus is. Paul clarifies that in 1 Timothy 3, verse number 16. By the way, if your Bible does not read exactly as my Bible reads in every particular, you should get a new Bible. Okay, I'll be happy to recommend one. I know a pretty good one. 1 Timothy 3:16. Your Bible should read thusly, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." Your Bible should say God, G-O-D. God was manifest in the flesh. If you have a Bible that merely says He, you need to get a Bible that says God. Because there is no clearer declaration of the deity of Jesus Christ than in this verse. "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." So we look back to our text, verse number 11. He, who was he? He was God. God manifest in the flesh. A lot of people don't understand, they don't think, they don't know, but when you looked into the eyes of that little baby laid in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes, that little baby is the God of all the universe. That is Jehovah in flesh, God with us, Emmanuel. Take your hymn book, turn with me to number 94. Number 94 in your hymn book, as we think about the He, who was He? He is God. Let's sing, "What Child Is This?" Number 94. Sing it together with me. "What child is this who laid to rest Mary's lap is sleeping, when angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him on, the babe, the Son of Mary." Now set your hymn book aside for a moment. John chapter 1 again, verse number 11. The Bible says this, "He came unto his own." He came. His coming is the message of Christmas. We celebrate today because we think of his first advent, the moment that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. God, who is the Creator God, did not merely leave his universe to spin wildly out of control after creation. But God understood man's fall, man's failure, and man's fault. And it was God himself willing to intervene in the lives of men, and so he came. God did not wash his hands of us because of our failures. God did not turn his back on an errant creation. No matter how deeply man fell into sin, and ladies and gentlemen, man did, the Bible surely records it in all of those years. There is a God in heaven who sent his prophets to plead with men. There was a God in heaven who sent his preachers to warn the nation of Israel and to warn his people that they needed to turn from their sin. And when they didn't, there was a God in heaven who wrought punishment upon his people, but always with the purpose of ultimately bringing them back. And then the Bible says that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And that speaks of the coming of Jesus Christ. At the very right moment, God himself, robed in human flesh, entered our existence and our time. Eternity stepped out of eternity into time. He left the ivory palaces of heaven and came to dwell among men. And thank God he came. Let's sing number 95 in commemoration of his coming. Number 95, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. Number 95.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. On the last together, he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes nations prove the glories of his righteousness. And wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders one of his love.
Great singing, but keep the hymn book close by. Verse number 11. He came, notice these words, unto his own, unto his own. When we think of where Jesus was born, he was born in Bethlehem of Judea in fulfillment of the prophet's exact prediction. But not only was he born in the right town, but born in the right country and born to the right kin people, because the Bible says he came unto his own. Specifically there, it is speaking of the Jewish people, because uniquely Jesus Christ is the Jewish Messiah. He was the one promised to come to redeem his people. Now, his redemption applies to the entire world. We'll see that in a moment. But he came unto his own. And as we've gone over the Christmas story in the last several Sundays, we've considered it interesting, the people to whom Jesus came. And I love especially the shepherds. Who were the shepherds? They were common Jewish men. They were men that didn't have a very prestigious job. In fact, were looked down upon, but they were men who knew and understand the prediction of the prophets. They were men who were actually in their heart and mind looking for a coming Messiah, as was all Israel in that day, and they were the ones privileged to see him come. And so the Bible says he came unto his own. Number 86, please. Number 86. Let's sing While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night. We'll try this one together. Number 86, lifted together. While shepherds watch flocks by night, all seated on the crown, the angel of the Lord came down, glory shone around, and glory shone around. Fear not, said he, for mighty dread seize their troubled mind. Glad tiding of great joy I bring to you and all mankind, to you, all mankind. And we'll sing the third stanza as the last. Notice the words. To you, David's tongue, his name is born of David's line. But back to the Christmas story in verse number 11 of John 1. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Jewish Messiah, the promised one, the one of whom the prophets had foretold, the one who fulfilled all of the prophecies, born in Jerusalem, born at the very moment in time predicted by Daniel the prophet, the one and only one who could possibly be the Jewish Messiah, came to his own. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. The blind were made to see. The lame were made to walk. The poor had the gospel preached unto them, and some of the people would have received him gladly. But the Jewish leaders felt very threatened by the presence of Jesus. They didn't want the status quo to be upset, and so ultimately they, representing the nation, rejected Christ. And their rejection of him led step by step toward the close of Jesus' life to the cross of Calvary. His own, the Jewish people, who should have embraced their Jewish Messiah and understood him to be God come in the flesh, his own were blinded. They rejected. And so the Bible tells us that Christ was nailed to a cross. They crucified him, but all in the plan of God. Because Jesus is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. And the Jewish rejection of Messiah, of which the Lord Jesus was well aware in his ministry, that was no surprise. And that Jewish rejection of Messiah brought a crucified Savior who brings salvation by grace to all. And so it would be accurate to say that in their rejecting him, Jesus bought salvation for all. He was born into this world, but not just to minister and to be an example, but he was born to die. Take your hymn book, please. Let's turn to number 102. 102. Familiar to some, maybe new to others, the hymn Born to Die on Calvary. Lift it together. On the night Christ was born, just before break of morn, as the stars in the sky were fading, o'er the place where he lay, of his shadow holding way, our lost and beautiful morning. As the last, Jesus knew when he came, he would suffer in shame, he would feel every pain and sorrow, but he felt their eyes with his loving sacrifice, my redemption to Jesus I owe. So back to John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 11. He, God in the flesh, came, born in Bethlehem's manger, unto his own, the Jewish nation, and his own received him not, and so they crucified him. But the good news is verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Look at the first word of verse 12, but as many as received him, while a whole group essentially rejected, apart from a small remnant who did receive Christ of the Jewish nation, while essentially a nation rejected Christ, the Bible says anyone who receives Christ today can have eternal life. The good news of the gospel is this, not just that Jesus was born, not just that he lived a perfect life and did many good things to help people in this world, but ultimately the good news of the gospel is this, that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. And if you will receive him, you can become a son or a daughter of God. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight, it is not religion, it is not worship, it is not any kind of good works, law-keeping, anything like that that I can do. But my salvation is wholly and solely because of the grace of God in Jesus Christ and believing on Him. And I ask you tonight, have you been made a child of God by belief? By belief. Have you believed? Have you trusted Him? Do you know Him as your Savior? To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. If you're here tonight, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure where I stand with the Lord. After the close of the service, I'll be here for a while. Pastors, other pastor staff will be here as well. We'd love to talk to you about how you can come to know Christ personally and really, and how you can believe. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. How do you receive Him? Even to them that believe on His name. And so we'll close together, those of us who have believed on His name. Number 85, O come all ye faithful. Number 85, let's stand for this one, please. O come all ye faithful. Lift it together.
O come all ye faithful.
We'll ask you to remain seated in a moment. We'll be seated in a moment. And then our staff is going to come. I'd ask all of our staff, the men, male staff members, and their wives, if they would like to come and help us, maybe some ushers as well, with lighting candles. And then we're going to talk briefly about Christ, the true light. Lord, thank You for tonight when we can examine a verse of the Bible that gives us the full scope of the gospel story. Thank You for that. I pray, Father, that now as we come to consider Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and our responsibility in bearing that light to friends and neighbors in the community, that the Lord would impress upon us the great privilege that it is to be one who has believed, and the great responsibility that it is to tell a lost and dying world. Father, I pray that You will speak to every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I love this part of our service because it is now that we consider Christ, who is the true light. As we said at the beginning of our service, this world is getting to be a very dark place. But Christians, you have the true light of Christ. You have the ability to tell someone else about a light that can shine into the darkest part of their heart and can change and transform them. The message has always been important, but I wonder if at this juncture in history, both in our country and in our world, that this message is not the most vital that it has ever been in human history because of the darkness into which our land is being plunged, humanism and evil, indeed the whole world. And the darker it gets, the brighter these lights can shine if we allow them to do so. He was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And Jesus said, ye are the light of the world, and so we should shine to him. Why don't we sing Silent Night together, Holy Night, and think about that, what the Lord will do through us as we yield to him.
Silent Night, Holy Night.
This night, the beauty of this room in which so many lights are shining, and the desire of our hearts to reflect Christ. Father, we think of the dark world in which we live, the sin, the sorrow, the desperation, the need. Help us, Lord, to shine the light of Christ into these hearts and lives. Father, if any have come our way tonight without Christ and wondering about their relationship with God, please let them talk to myself or someone else after the service. We want to show them the way to Christ. Father, bless, I pray. Thank you for a wonderful Christmas time. But help us, Lord, to have Christmas shining in our hearts throughout the year. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.